Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for the great honor, the special privilege to come together in your presence, to come to hear your word and to share it. We say thank you because we know it's not everywhere that this is possible. And even more important, it's not everywhere that you choose to visit. And so we say welcome. Come and take your place and have your way in our midst today. As we come to share this word and to receive it, we come aware, acutely aware, Lord, of our limitations in and of ourselves, both to deliver as well as to receive the word. And then we come to plead for mercy. I in particular strip myself of every confidence I might have in my preparation, in my knowledge, in what I read. All that doesn't matter now. All that matters, Lord, is your mercy to be a faithful steward of this word. I ask you to pour out upon me afresh your mercy. Make my tongue like a pen of a ready writer as I speak. I will write your word and your will upon the hearts of your people by the power of the Spirit in the name of Jesus. I ask that there be a free flow of your life and your power from you through me and your word from you through me to the people, causing each one of us to be encouraged, to be strengthened, to be changed from within, to become more like you. I also ask that I speak, Lord God, you help me to be precise and concise, not saying anything unnecessary, redeeming the time, Lord, that I speak your power and your presence, but also fill the air, Lord God, breaking every yoke, meeting every need, causing our minds to be more enlightened by the revelation knowledge of your word, our wills to be more humble, submitted to your will, Lord, and our emotions to be tempered and controlled even further by the precious fruit of your Spirit. Wherever this word goes in all the earth, let your power back it to bring all these things to pass in the name of Jesus. And I also want to thank you, Lord, for my fathers in the house. As you come to deliver this word, I duck under the anointings and I ask that you put their mantles upon me. As I begin to bring forth this word, I will teach and deliver this word and preach it as they would were they here personally. So this word will go forth as a river of living water, of life, bringing refreshing to all that hear it, myself included, but especially to them, that as they drink and eat of this vine they have planted, they will be truly abundantly satisfied with the travail of their souls. I thank you, for Father, you will do more than we can ask or can think, according to your mercies, by your grace, Lord Jesus, and your unction and help, Lord Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. And the people say, well, here we go. Well, we all should know we're in the book of Acts of the Apostles, and I always say the Acts of the Apostles is being outworked in this day also. That was the glory of the latter church, but now we're in the glory of the former church. Now we're in the latter church. That was the glory of the latter church. Now we're in the former, the greater. What am I saying? That was the glory of the former church. This is the glory of the latter church. We can look at the former church, the things that were, and have an idea of the things that are about to come to pass. And that's what we're doing in the book of Acts. Now, in our last study, we remarked again at the boldness of the apostles Peter and John before the Sanhedrin. We said that they were so bold that the Sanhedrin was so, they marveled. They actually couldn't believe that these were ordinary fishermen. They called them unlearned and ignorant, unschooled, ignorant men. And here they were standing and holding their own before the scribes and the doctors of the law, just like the Lord Jesus, incidentally. Amen. You know, the Lord Jesus really didn't have formal education. No formal education. But he confounded his teachers when he was young, 12 years old. So it's not the learning as such. Thank God for education. I believe in education. Education is very, very important. And Apostle Paul shows that education is very critical too in serving the God with the gospel, because Apostle Paul was a lawyer and God used his education to write 2/3 of the New Testament and also our legal rights in Christ. But even Apostle Paul called all of his education, his physical standing, he said he was all dumb. Scribe, Pharisee of Pharisees, Hebrew of Hebrews, sat at the foot of Gamaliel, all those things he said, he counted them as dung for the excellency of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ. So interesting, I'm reminded of one prophet Obadiah. How many remember Prophet Obadiah? This was a man who was largely uneducated and blind, but he could recite scripture with such accuracy. Folks, it's not education. Thank God for it. God will use it, but it's the heart. God can do wonders with a heart that is submitted to him. Amen. So we see that. So they were so, you know, shocked. But we said that God uses the feeble things, the things that are despised, to confound the things that think that they are wise. Amen. And so we saw these two people, John and Peter, who 50 days plus before were running helter-skelter when they took Jesus. So what had changed? And we said what had changed was that the new birth had come. Amen. And then there was faith in the blood for cleansing of sin. So they knew they had access into the presence of God, into the life of God. And so they were not going there by themselves, but in the mercy, the grace, and the power of God by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So that boldness came because of that understanding that they were clean. Their sins had been forgiven. So they had boldness with God and boldness through God with men. Amen. Then they saw, of course, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They saw Christ preach to them 40 days. I mean, if that doesn't give you boldness, nothing else. So this is the person who was crucified, then he resurrected, and now you're going to witness for that man, the person that has resurrected, you'll be bold in Jesus' name. That's what we're supposed to do, folks. Witness the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I spoke about the baptism and infilling of the Holy Spirit and the borrowed anointing of the Lord that was upon all the disciples at that time. It was not the earnest they were using. That couldn't do all the miracles. The pastors taught us it was the anointing upon the Lord. So this boldness was not physical. It was a spiritual boldness that the Pharisees could not fathom or understand. Amen? They also saw the vital importance of miracles and signs and wonders in advertising the gospel. These people wanted to deny what the apostles had done. But because there was a man who had been lame from his birth standing right next to them, their mouths were shut. They put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Amen. And that's what we're going to have to do too. Amen. We're going to have to use the advertising of the gospel, which is miracles and signs and wonders, to keep men quiet in this day. Amen. So they were before them and said, well, they wanted to deny, they couldn't deny. Then they now tried to stop them from preaching the gospel. And Peter, I love what they said. Peter said, is it let you to judge? Is it right in the sight of God for us to hearken to you more than God? You to judge now. Ain't that rule? Said, well, we cannot but speak the things which we have seen, which we have heard. And the Lord showed us prophetically from John chapter 1 verses 1 to 3 that it's only the things which we have heard. Faith comes by hearing, we said. And also the word that has been preached. What we have seen with our eyes. Not talking about these eyes. They're talking about the eyes of our understanding. Amen. So our eyes of our understanding are no more dark because of what we have heard. We've seen it now by revelation knowledge personally. Which we have looked upon. In other words, we've investigated. We've given attention to it. The Berean Christians said they went to search the scripture to see whether these things were so. And then our hands have handled, what refers to the physical manifestation. You've interacted with it. You've seen the physical manifestation of the blade of the what you have heard and what you have seen by revelation in your personal experience. Amen. It is only this that you have heard, that you have seen with your eyes, that you have handled and looked upon, that you can now manifest to others. So they will see what you have heard. They will see what you have seen. They will see physically now what you have looked upon and handled. And then, because of the miracles they see in your life first, and then through you and others, they will now join us and fellowship with us. So that their fellowship will also be God the Father and the Son, even as ours is. And that's where we're going, folks. That's where God is taking us to. Amen. And this is what happened. So they were there. Then they found it. Suddenly they couldn't find anything against them. So what did they do? They let them go. They will let you go too in Jesus' name. They will let you go in Jesus' name. Eh? Nobody will be able to lay a charge to God's elect in this day. Amen. Okay, so today we're going to continue from Acts chapter 4, verse 23. Let's go there. Acts 4 and verse 23. Hallelujah, somebody. Everybody shake yourself. Shake. Like this. All right, there you go. Shake yourself from the dust. Amen. All right, now let's go. Verse 23, we read together. And being let go. Remember I said they're going to let you go. You will go in Jesus' name. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. If you want, if you have any doubt at all, who made the earth that we stand on? This scripture says it. All that we can see, all that we are, everything was made by God. So why do they say there's no God? This is the scripture. Anyway, let's continue. Verse 25. Who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. These verses will be very familiar to most of us. Verse 27. For the truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. That's heavy. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness, weren't they speaking with boldness before? They may speak thy word by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. We're going to have to back up on all this. So much here. I'm not sure I should go today, but let's see. So, let's go. So when they let them go, what did they do? They went back to their own people. But so they went back to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. We see here several things. Number one, the principle of accountability. The principle of accountability. Number two, the principles of submission. And then unity. All these are closely linked. This is them going to give feedback to their people concerning what had happened. This requires humility, folks. Feedback requires humility. That's why most people don't do it. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. I said feedback requires humility. That's why most people don't do it, because most people aren't humble enough. Amen. Most people just keep going, Joro, Jara, Joro, until the person that sent them, I said, bro, what of what I sent you now? I'm a binu, I'm a bagbe. It's pride. Only one person said yes, sir. Everybody looking at me as if, what's possible? You say, it's pride that doesn't make you give feedback. Because you see, when you want to give feedback, you have to submit. You are automatically saying that you are not your own, and there is somebody that sent you, and you owe that person a feedback concerning what has happened to you. Amen. That's it. So the apostles came back to give a report of what had happened in response to what the Sanhedrin said. Amen. Even though they were the apostles, they didn't go Lone Ranger. In this day, there are no more Lone Rangers, folks. They were apostles. Yet, they humbled themselves. I don't know, these are the first apostles of the land. These are the guys that saw the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. Amen? But they didn't take it upon themselves to be head and shoulders above. I mean, hello? They didn't have to go back. They didn't have to. But they chose to humble themselves. They submitted everything that they had done to the brethren so that even though they were the elders, amen, they did not allow that to get them puffed up. And so they went back. And this is very important. This particularly the principle of accountability and submission one to another. And it was the Lord Jesus Christ himself who established this thing. Amen. And we see it all throughout in his ministry. He said, everything I do nothing except the Father tells me. He was in constant communion with the Father, always relating back to the Father. Hello, somebody. Every day he prayed, he was giving an account of what he had done, what he was about to do. Every time you go to the presence of God, you're supposed to be giving an account. Lord, thank you. You're going to thank you for what was past. You're going to ask for grace to do what is coming. But you see, that requires humility. Simple. This is the problem with the church today. The Saul system. This head and shoulders. I am my own person. I am the great man of God. I don't need to tell anybody anything. It's my church. No, it ain't your church. It belongs to God. Say amen, somebody. Amen. Say amen. Amen. This Saul system has sought to destroy this foundation of accountability. Because, I mean, if you don't give account, wait, let me ask you something. You give your son or your daughter, say $1,000. And he spends $1,000 and doesn't come back and tell you. When he comes for the next $1,000, what will you do? What for the, thank you, Pastor. Pastor Valley said, what for the last one I give you now? Oh, yeah, an account. God does that. Hello? Hello. Must always remember. This is it. So, and then, you know, like I said, it also fosters unity. There was a knitting of hearts. They didn't just say they were the apostles and so they're not going to give an account. Amen? And we saw this. This is what God is doing now. He's removing the Saul system and establishing a new system in which the hearts are knit together in David. We saw this in 1 Chronicles chapter 12 the other day. So we don't have to go there. But the essence of that, David and his men, all the time they were in the wilderness, they lived together. They slept under the same conditions, even though David was their leader. Amen? I remember when he was pursuing the Amalekites. Some people could not cross the river to go. They came back and they shared everything, unity. They were one, they were together, there was a heart fellowship. So David was as much accountable to them as they were to him. And that's what God is now restoring with this new, it's not new, it's always been there, but this Davidic order in this season, replacing Saul and Babylon's system with a David, system, the David order, new Davidic order. Very, very important. What are we saying? We're saying accountability and mutual submission in the Spirit are key foundations for the body of Christ. Look at 1 Peter. Give me 1 Peter chapter 5. This is Peter himself writing this maybe years after he did this miracle that we're talking about today. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 1. Quickly. Now let's read it together. It says the elders. He also was an elder. But he was exhorting elders. It says the elders which are among you. I exhort. Who am also an elder. And a witness of the sufferings of Christ. And also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. How many people are going to be partakers of the glory that's going to be revealed? Look what he said. Next verse. Feed the flock among you, which is among you, taken over sight, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Talking to the elders. I don't know if the elders of many of the churches we have today read these things. It says, take over sight, not for filthy lucre, not by constraint. In other words, you don't force people. Free will offerings. Anyway, let's go to the next verse, which is where I'm really going. There's one that talks about humility. Where? The verse that talks about humility. Next verse. Yes, this is it. Likewise, ye younger. I can't hear anybody. Likewise, ye younger. Says what? Submit yourselves unto the elder. Very important. Yea. Now, this is where it gets to the accountability part. It says, yea, all of you. So not just the elder, but all those other than the elder. That means the people in the church, the saints and deacons, everybody, just everyone. Look what he says. All of you, be what? I can't hear you. Do we have a voice here today? Can somebody give me this, say that out loud? All of you what? To do to whom? To whom? Read it again. All of you be what? To whom? How many people? Everybody subject to everybody. I've been up to say the talk. Is that what he's saying? He says, all of you be subject one to another. And not only that. And what? Be with what? Ooh. So being subject to one another requires humility. Why? For God resisteth the proud and gives grace to the humble. Be clothed with humility, be subject one to another. Where do we get this, high pie in the sky, head up? I know where we got it from, the devil. That's where. Because it's not Jesus Christ. This is not God. This is not what we're told. Now, let me put a caveat here. The fact that the elder is submitted to the younger and the younger to the elder does not mean that there will not still be church hierarchy. There are still going to be bishops. There are still going to be deacons. There are still going to be saints. That's a threefold level of the church. That's how God describes it in Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. That does not, there's still going to be fathers. There are going to be young men. There are going to be little, there's still going to be all those demarcations in the church. But everybody, including the fathers, submit one to another in the fear of God. Amen? That's what he's saying. So this principle of accountability is very, very important. And what does it do? First of all, it breaks pride. Because if you are proud, you won't do this. But if you know that God said, be subject one to another, you will humble yourself and you will give that report. It also causes the brethren to be united. Everybody has a stake in the work of the Lord. Amen? So you begin to see people getting more closer to each other because people, like I said, I don't want to use the word. It's like when you report to somebody, you're part of us. You are part of this work with us. Amen? It encourages them. It challenges the church to now be inspired. So they will do the same thing that you have done for God. And most importantly, it lays an example of humility. Give me Luke chapter 22, verse 27. Luke 22, verse 27. This is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. This is what he said. Luke 22, 27. Are we getting something out of this? I can't hear anybody. Luke 27. Look what he says. He says, for who is greater? He's asking a question. He that said, I don't want to read the rest of it, you go and read it, but what I want to see is right here. He's talking about, you know, who's biggest, who's the greatest in the kingdom. It says, for who is greater, he that sits at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat? It says, but I, this is the Lord Jesus. And we're copying Jesus' example, and in Jesus' name, are we not? What he says, I am among you. How? I didn't hear you at all. I didn't hear you. I didn't hear anything. Who's speaking? And what is he saying? He's saying he's among the brethren, his disciples, whom he has prayed for, birthed and trained as him that serves. That's what he says. I am among you as his servant. This is the foundation. He came to serve, not to rule over. That's why Peter said, don't be yourselves our lord over the brethren. But everybody humble and submit yourself one to the other. Give me also, I want you to see something here. John chapter 15, verse 15. This is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to his disciples after he was about to go to the cross. He changed their status, and that status remains to this day. How many people are disciples of the Lord here? Look what he says. Let's read this together. We're talking about accountability and humility to others in the body. Henceforth, I call you not servants. What? For the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends. For all things that I've heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Can you imagine the Lord Jesus Christ calling you his friend? Everything he knows, he's told you. He's held nothing back. And in case you didn't hear, he now sent his spirit to make sure everything that he wants to tell you, he tells you. That's unity, folks. That's unity. That's love. He didn't have to do it. But he did it so you and I can prosper from all the knowledge, everything that the Father to his head. When he was leaving, he said, I can't tell you everything now. But I'm going to send the spirit to you, and the spirit will make known the things to you. I will show you things to come. So we see the principle of humility, the principle of equality among the brethren, that the greatest is the servant who serves all. And because he serves all, he must be accountable to all. Hello, somebody. And we see this in the Acts of the Apostles. I'm taking time on this because I want us to get, I believe even if you don't do anything else, this is good for us today. Because it's so rare. It's so rare, folks. Accountability, unity, humility in the body of Christ. Can you imagine a big man of God being asked to come and tell his people what he's been doing? who are you? That's what goes on. But it's wrong. It's wrong. At least from these principles I see here, and I believe the word more than what they say. Give me Acts chapter 14, 26, 50. We're going to rush through this. This is Apostle Paul, Barnabas. When they left the church at Antioch, they came back And they gave the report. Acts 14, 26. Yes. And then they said to Antioch, from whence they have been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they what? Come on, guys, speak up. Which they what? They did what? They were given a work. The church sent them forth, gave them grace to do the work. And they finished the work. What did they do? They sailed to Antioch. Next verse. They came back to Antioch. And when they were come and had done what? They were the ones who called for the gathering. And had gathered the church together. They did what? They rehearsed. That's old English. What did they report it? They gave a full accounting of all that God had done with him, with them, and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. This is accountability. This is scripture. Hello, somebody. And you don't have to go out and do evangelism before you come and report. Whatever you do in the body, you have a place where you can go and make report. Hello, somebody. You are supposed to be a flower arranger. You arrange your flower in the morning, you go and report to your head. Oh, yeah. You're supposed to be here doing the equipment. Whether your head is there or not, you do your stuff. You go, this is what I did to do. Hello, somebody. You teach foundation faith classes. Did you report back to your head? I finished my teaching. This is what happened in the class. Humility. And you keep practicing that and doing it over and over and over and over again, it becomes second nature. And then it's not such a big deal after all. It will be a normal thing. When I finish this sermon, I'm going to call my pastor. I say, this is what happens, sir. And I give him a summary of what I said. If I don't do it before, I'll do it immediately after. Sometimes it's not time enough to do everything. But I give a sermon summary. This is what I said. Maybe it's, listen, but it's important. See, it's not whether he has heard or not. It's what you do to your heart. Amen. I hope you're getting something out of this. Everybody's looking at, well, I guess maybe some of us are thinking that, oh me, oh my. Well, if you can say oh, amen, say oh my. I mean, same thing, Acts 15:3-4. On their way to Jerusalem, they stopped by all the places there. They began to rehearse. The Bible said they rehearsed all the things that God had done to the Gentiles through them. They were giving account. Amen. Amen. Oh, okay. All right. So this is it. Now, and we see it happen in this house. I don't know how many times I've sat here and pastor or mama will come. Pastor has been preaching for about a week or he's gone for a weekend and he comes back or he goes abroad. He doesn't have to do it, you know. But he comes and tells us this is what happened. This is what God spoke. This is what he told them. He's giving a report. He's telling you that you are part of me. All that God has done through me, I needed you and your prayers in the background to do. And he's saying thank you. He may not use those words. Sometimes he does. But what he's saying is that I understand it's not a one-man game. Amen. And I recognize your support, your help in prayer, and upholding me in your prayers. So I've come to tell you the results of the prayers that you prayed for me when I was away. That's how a real man of God operates. Hello, somebody. And the report will strengthen. And there will be an edifying of the body. We'll see that in a minute. Okay. So let's go back to Acts 4:24. So, when the church heard the testimony, this is beautiful. When the church heard the apostles' testimony, the result was unity and even greater one accord. And then a mighty prayer was said. What happened? The people were inspired. Wow. You mean all that happened? You mean because, you know, they didn't know what went on. They just heard that Peter and John had been arrested and they were in jail. So now came back, now told them exactly what was said. Of course, when they were in jail, they knew they were going to see the Sanhedrin. There's going to be, you know, questions asked, all kinds of. So there are many questions in their hearts. And the people came and gave them this. And the whole church was so inspired. And it said in verse 20, is it 24 now? Yes. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. And then they made this mighty prayer request for greater boldness. more signs and wonders and miracles to be done in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen? Give me verse 29 in the Amplified. Quickly. Verse 29. Thank you. And now, Lord, observe their threats and grant to your bond servant, check this out, full freedom. Oh boy, about Ejasheke Shekewa. So we're going to declare your message. This wasn't just Peter and Paul now. This was the entire church. The entire church. All those 120 and plus 3,000 now, Abby. There were 3,000. Was it 3,000 or 5,000? 3,000. All those 120 plus 3,000, they said this way. Full freedom to declare your message fearlessly. So, just by reporting one incident the apostles did, they multiplied the effect among the entire body. Now everybody wants to go out. Now everybody wants to declare the word of God with boldness and freely. Amen. Now everybody wants to do miracles and signs and wonders. Because some people didn't keep the results to themselves but came to declare what God had done. Hello, somebody. One person understands. Verse 29. Give me the next verse and amplify it too. Glory to God. Why you? You give us boldness. You give us boldness, Lord. We will speak your word. But at the same time, you will now stretch out your hand to heal, to cure, and to perform signs and wonders through the authority and by the power of the name of your holy child. Not a child. But I mean, that's all it is. And servant Jesus Christ. Big prayer. And he began to pray. All of this, they were one accord in one place. They prayed basing their request on scripture. Oh my God, there's so much here. They based their request on scripture. They said, they used Psalm 2. And they said, let's read it. Psalm said, then you make that. Who by the mouth of the servant David has said, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? They're using Psalm 2 to make their request. It's very important to do scriptural prayer. When you base your request on scripture, God will answer. We'll see that in a minute. I'm going to have to fly through this. God will answer. And it'll be instant because it's the word of God. God already has a legal basis in that word and he just brings it. Bass! Amen? So they made this prayer request and they now made it using Psalm 2, which you see here. It said, the kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. Now you won't see all this in Psalm 2. Give me Psalm 2, verse 2, please, quickly. Psalm 2, okay, it says, the kings of the earth, give it to the KJV. KJV, thank you. The kings of the earth set themselves. Here they say they stood up. So when they said that they stood up against, what did they form? Against God. Can you imagine standing and rising against God? And the rulers take counsel again against the Lord and against his anointed. Now he's broken down that thing now here by the Spirit to show who exactly was that stood up against the Lord Jesus. He says, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod, Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles, and the people of Israel. Those were the ones that stood up against. Now, excuse me. They stood up and set themselves against the Lord. Now, who are these people? First of all, recognize Herod. Herod was a king that was anointed by the Roman government. Amen? He wasn't very that's pretty much it. He was very unpopular with the Jews. Amen? Then he talks about the people, talks about Pontius Pilate. Again, Pontius Pilate was appointed by the Roman government. Now, he was a good man, I believe. But, I mean, he was a Roman citizen and he didn't, worship the God of Jews. Amen? So, these are the Gentiles. Herod, Pontius Pilate, next verse, with the Gentiles. That Gentiles represents the power of the Roman government that was behind these two people. Now, so what we're saying basically is that the Roman government stood up against the Lord Jesus Christ by instigation of the devil, of course. Amen? There was always in the background somewhere. So he raised up Herod, Pontius Pilate, and the power of the Roman government behind them. And he now talks about, and the rulers. Who are the rulers? He's talking about the Jews. He's talking about the Sanhedrin from whence they had just come. They were the rulers of the Jewish people. So what we see here is the government, instigated by the religious hierarchy of that time. What are we talking about? That's the whore and the beast. Same difference. The whore and the beast rose up against... Give me Revelation chapter 17, verse 7. Are we getting something? Are we hearing this? Revelation 17, verse 7. There's a reason why we're doing all this. Revelation 17, verse 7. Thank you. And the angel said unto me, why did you marvel? I will tell... Now check this out. I will tell thee the mystery of the woman. That's the whore. That's Babylon. And of the beast that carries her, which have the seven heads and ten horns. Those are the governments. So he's talking about a woman riding upon the beast. The beast is carrying her. But who is dictating what the beast does? The rulers. That is what's then, so it is now. Same difference. And they're going to do this in this time also. Amen? But the thing is this. Oh, I love this. Everything, they're going to fail. Tell your neighbor they will fail. Tell your neighbor they're going to fail. The whore and the beast will fail. Like they failed then, they could not stop Jesus and the anointed of the Lord Jesus. So also in this time that we are in, as Zion arises, they will fail. Hello, somebody. How do I know? Because even then, all they did then was planned by God. You didn't get that. Look what it says. Give me verse 28. Let's read from verse 27 again. Help me, Lord. It says, for the truth against thy holy child Jesus. We say he's not a child. He's Lord. Whom thou hast anointed both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel. Those are the results. And you know, it was the leaders of Israel that caused the people to rebel. The Bible says that the voice of the leaders prevailed above the people. So the people were complicit with the leadership of Israel to put Jesus to death. But look what they were doing. It said they were gathered together. Verse 28 is where I'm going. They were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. Folks, tell your neighbor, God reigns in the affairs of men. Even when it looks like the devil is winning, say it. Even when it looks like Satan is winning, even when it looks like he's dominating, even when it looks like he has gone ahead of the game, he will still fail. Amen. Because God has determined what is going to come to pass before he started. So he's only working out a script that God has written. He rules. He reigns. He's Lord over heaven and earth. He reigns in all the affairs of men. He may allow the devil a few steps to get a headway, but ultimately he'll pull him and say, sorry, I mean, that means you come back to where. Hello, someone. Well, I said, God put it in the, said, God put it in the hearts of them to come together to do what? To fulfill his will. That's the God we're dealing with. Thank you. That is the God we're dealing with. So all these guys getting together came to nothing because God was just watching. I said, see, he will laugh and have them in the region. Said, eh? So you think you won, right? You think you got it all figured out, right? God bless you. You don't be laughing at them. You should be laughing to them too. Hello, somebody. Now, you cannot laugh if you don't know what God is doing. You cannot laugh if you have no understanding. You're not sitting with him in a secret place to know what God is working out. That is what has happened to 90% of the church, if not more. They don't have an understanding. So when things happen, they say, God, why did you allow this? My God, where are you all? You see, my African man, he said, God, what did I do you? What you do you is what you didn't do, not what you did. Huh? The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, and all the inhabitants and they that dwell therein. That's the Lord. That's why the Lord has them all in derision. If you know what God is doing too, you will also have them in derision. And then you now use prayer to vex them in your own displeasure. Hello, somebody. I don't know if I'm challenging anybody here today. I don't know if you're getting this. And this same... And the Lord, if you read Psalm 2, says, God will now give us this same heathen for our inheritance. And the uttermost parts of the earth for our possession. So who lost? The kings, the rulers, and Satan. Who wins? You and I win. Those, the anointed of the Lord who he has raised himself up against. You win in Jesus' name. This is the day of winning. Amen. So right now, God is preparing us. Us, when I say us there, I'm going to close now. Us there doesn't mean us here only. There are lots of people like us. But from beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, which is where we're going to rise from, preparing us beyond the rivers of Ethiopia as a people who do all of these things. He's calling out his people from out of Babylon. Come out of her. Be not partaker of her sins. Removing the strangers by breaking, ruling, and discipling the church. Amen. 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 Pastor just called out for those who want to dedicate themselves to praying every week, once a week, for the release of the Spirit without measure. That's their calling out. Babylon won't do that. Babylon wants to keep Babylonian spirits flying around all over the place. God is calling out his people. And he's ruling by the rod of strength out of Zion. And he's discipling us to perfect the love of God by the blood, the word, and the spirit, and then demonstrate, manifest his glory upon the earth before the sons of men. So they will see God, not be talking again. Amen? Amen? Folks, this is it. This is where we're going to. This is our portion. I can't get go any further now because the time is gone. You know? But let's see here. It says, you know, they were gathered together to do whatsoever God's hand and his counsel had determined before to be done. And these people prayed this mighty prayer. Ask God to help them speak with all boldness. To speak with boldness and declare the word of the Lord. And then the Lord will back them up, stretching forth his hand to wrought signs and wonders and miracles. Folks, we can talk all we want. And we've been talking. I've been a Christian now for what, 28, 29 years, something like that. And we've been talking. But this day of talking has passed. Now we need to begin to see the talk. Like they say in America, you walk the talk. We need to now walk the talk. And what is going to do it is this principle of accountability, this principle of unity, this principle of service, this principle of being united in one accord, in one place, seeking the face of the Lord and declaring his manifold wisdom to principalities and powers. That day has come. We all need to ask for boldness to speak this word so that we will also be partakers of that anointing. We will also be partakers of the full, well, a borrowed first and then a full later, that will now declare the manifold wisdom of God to principalities and powers. And if you read here, well, maybe we'll continue here next week. It says, when they had prayed, the place was shaken. I've been praying for years, but I've never seen the place I pray was shaken. But I'm inclined to believe that this word is not there for nothing. That says every jot, every tittle will be fulfilled in this day. This word, this shaking of where we were praying, is not going to pass without it being fulfilled. And I'm inclined to believe. Folks, when there's unity, there's nothing. These people had spectacular unity, spectacular accountability, that spectacular presence of God. This was the first of the first fruits of the glory of the former house. How much more then the first of the first fruits of the glory of the latter house? It's going to happen. Don't worry, the building will not fall. It's just a few angels shaking the foundations. Man, they got it. Wow. They got it. I want to be there. I don't know about you. You can speak your own to yourself. Amen. But this is it, folks. This is it. All the talking has to stop. Now is time for action. Amen. And Lord, give us favor, mercy, and grace to be able to speak that word with boldness as we dwell in one accord. We are accountable, each one serving there. We'll see that next week, how they were all serving one another, selling their property to make sure. This thing was not written, you know, by chance. God has given us here a background understanding of the underlying foundation of what perpetuated the glory of the former house. And we're going to have to copy the same. And Lord, give us understanding in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's speak to the Lord. We'll close now. Thank you, Jesus. Ha! When they prayed, the place where they were praying was shaken. I can imagine what that prayer was doing in the heavenlies. It would have been scattering Satan. I said, hey! We've got to find a way to stop these people. And you'll find out how he did it later. So in Acts chapter 6. He has to find a way. But he will not find a way in us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Ha. And they were all filled with I can get into that now. And they spake the word of God with boldness. You know what this shows me? They had instant answer to prayer. Instant. It didn't come later. As they were praying, God gave the answer with a spectacular manifestation of power. And he will do the same for us. He will do the same for us. Hallelujah. Let's speak to the Lord and ask for his help. God is preparing us, folks. The day of the kingdom has come. And he sent us to get our act together, united. Each one looking after the benefits and the wealth of the other. Under the covering of the fathers who speak peace and seek the wealth of their people. Amen. We copy their example. Thank God we have fathers in this house who are responsible. Can you please do this microphone? It's not working properly for me. I'm stressing. You know? And they come to us and they encourage us. They exhort us. They show by their lives the example we ought to follow. And our responsibility is to follow after them. And like them, be servants who are serving all. If you serve all the people, you are accountable to all the people. Hallelujah. Let's ask the Lord to help. And we are now a people prepared, made holy
and clean by the blood of the Lamb,
watching and praying for Jesus' return,
preparing our hearts like a bride getting ready.
And we all drink from the water of life in the city where the Lord is the light. We hear you say you are coming soon, and the Spirit and the Bride say come. And we are now
a people prepared,
made holy and clean by the blood of the Lamb. Watching and praying for Jesus' return, preparing our hearts like a bride getting ready. And we now drink from the water of life in the city where the Lord is the light. We hear you say you are coming soon, and the Spirit and the Bride say come.
And we are now
a people prepared, made holy and clean.
Watching and praying for Jesus.
respond to this word that has come this morning. Let's raise a hand up unto the Lord. Remember, the raising of our hands is like incense unto God. And then put another hand upon your chest. Sincerity. Hallelujah. I pray with faith and sincerity in our hearts. We say, Father, we confess our sins. So we claim with the blood. In Jesus' name, we have life. Lord, have mercy upon me as we pray. And so, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for reminding me that you are preparing us as a people called by your name in this day to declare your manifold wisdom to principalities and powers. I also understand that for this to happen, an enabling environment must first be created, just like you created the enabling environment in the former church. So thank you for teaching me today the principle of accountability and of unity, accountability to my fellow brethren and my fathers by submission and unity. I thank you for mercy and grace that you now give me to help me to walk in the light of this truth. Lord, knowing that as I serve all, your word says that a servant is the greatest. So help me, grant me like the Lord Jesus to be among the brethren that you have set me among as a servant unto all. So as I serve and humble myself under the fathers of the house, you will exalt me in due season. I thank you also for giving me the heart of a servant. I come to ask also for great boldness to speak your word, Lord God, and great grace in this spirit of unity, in this spirit of love and accountability that you're creating through me and us in the body to declare the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ with signs and wonders following in the name of Jesus. I thank you for giving me an understanding that though there will be opposition, all opposition becomes nothing because you will arise on our behalf. And they will only do the things that you have prepared since before time began. So I know that under authority, I know in the spirit of unity, I know that in the spirit of accountability, I am more than a conqueror through the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you for this understanding today. Help me have mercy and grace to fulfill my destiny as I declare your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray in the spirit.
Talamai papa lo hambali sala kangalira rembele melama hambali bilo selem la bale mayele keso father mina monso rembe sata koro sere teremai rembe selamo kase kaka rembele kala lo shendi rembe dara kuro bika para kube gemza rese polo kubaya kakuru rembe bike saka koro kese kaka la ramesha in Jesus name. Father, we thank you for your mercies. Lord Jesus, thank you for your great grace. Lord Holy Spirit, thank you for helping us. In Jesus' name.